You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. The Jensen Olsom Arboretum is in the spotlight this Friday at the City Museum, which is celebrating the Arboretum's 15th anniversary. So joining us now to talk about the special presentation is Alyssa Borges, curator of programs for the Juno Douglas City Museum. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi. And Ginger Hudson, manager of the Jensen Olsom Arboretum. Hi, Ginger.
Hi.
Well, thank you both for being with me today. There's a lot to talk about. But Ginger, I'd like to start with you because I find your job so fascinating. So would you please just introduce yourself and tell us what you do at the Arboretum?
Well, hello. My name is Ginger Hudson. And yes, I do manage the Arboretum property, the grounds, the events, the training, the teaching, the working with seasonal gardeners, the working with volunteers. It is an interesting property. It's a very small arboretum as far as public gardens go. I would also consider it a botanical garden. Those who follow public gardens may know that arboretum mostly focuses on trees and woody species. And if you've been to our arboretum, you know that primula are the star of the show. Mm. It is a lot of work to maintain that piece of property. It's 14 acres. 4 acres are cultivated. And in addition to having the summer help, I'm the only year-round employee, so I do watch over the property year-round, keeping the parking lot clear of snow, and a small trail in the winter for seeing the grounds in the winter, which are also beautiful at that time of year. In addition to maintaining the grounds, we do a lot of seed starting for our vegetable garden, which has been in the same location for over 100 years, and we like to keep that tradition going and donate food to the community. We also are always looking to add to our primula collection or add to our woody species collection so other folks in Juneau can have a good representation of what can be grown in this area.
So what's a typical day like for you?
In the summer, a typical day this summer is starting the water hoses at about 6:30.
I bet, yeah.
The arboretum is far enough out the road that we are not on the water system, so we have a well there. And yes, if there needs to be watering done, there is only 2 faucets out on the property, so I'll set up the sprinkler systems. The summer staff starts at 9 o'clock. Our open hours are 9 to 5. And they open the gate for visitors, and we discuss our projects for the day. Mostly in the summer, it's tackling weeds, and we make sure everybody has a task to do. And if it's a new task, we learn together, we learn safely, and we just pass on proper horticulture techniques. We do operate or grow everything there organically, because we are on the water and we like to fish and have good fish, and everybody wants to have a good return on their seafood life. So if we do have to tackle any pests that we talk about in the morning, it's done in a careful way. Thankfully, we're pretty lucky here up in Alaska. We don't have as many pests as gardeners might have in the lower 48. And so then after meeting each other for the morning, we'll set off on our ways. A lot of weeding in the summer. Everybody is always doing some kind of weeding in addition to some maintenance, fixing pathways, make sure areas are accessible without too much danger, even though it is kind of a rural, rustic. We call it a rustic botanical garden. And then the visitors start to arrive, and we love to talk to the visitors, find out where they're from. I'm taking kind of an informal count this summer of how many people actually make it from the cruise ships and who's visiting family. That's always fun. And I love that Junoites love their arboretum and make sure that their family visits when they come. And then around 4 o'clock, we kind of start to round up tools and clear the grounds, make sure no trash is left about, and check on the Point Caroline Trail and start to wind down for the day. Unless I still have to water into the night.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you're pretty well supported from your staff. You were mentioning pests. I was just wondering, what do you do if you find that one of your plants is in trouble?
Well, depending on what the trouble is, whether it's insect or animal, last summer we had visitation from porcupines, and There's not a whole lot we can do for those. In the past, we have wrapped trees and shrubs in either corrugated plastic or fencing material to try to keep them off. Caroline, to celebrate her time in the garden, wrapped sheet metal or stovepipes around plants. She even had her raspberries in fence, barbed wire, and electric fence. We don't want to go that far with other visitors on the grounds because people aren't always going to know what kind of materials are there. But anyway, so for the big animals, we just try to keep people away from them because also we'll have bears come in as pests attacking food. For insects, deciding what it is first and how to treat it, a lot of times it's a hard water blast. Just gets those pests off and takes care of them. Sometimes it's a little bit of soap in a spray bottle. Again, we've rarely had to do that. And then sometimes it's just cutting off the poorly affected material and allowing the plant to regenerate. And a lot of times it's hoping that big murderer crows comes over from the shrine and they come in and pick the pests, the bugs off of our plants.
Interesting. Sometimes birds are the pests themselves, and in this case, sounds like they're part of the solution.
They can be. Last summer, we had a really fun experience with crane fly, a big crane fly outbreak, and the lawn was just covered with them, and the crane fly eat the grass roots. Well, the crows came in and saved the day and ate the crane flies, but the grass still looked kind of icky, but this year it looks great. They all tilled the soil for it nicely.
So do you live out there on site year round?
I do. I am required to live there by the city. And for those who don't know, the Arboretum is a City of Juneau Parks and Recreation Department facility. And so it is required to be there because technically the grounds are open all year, but also to watch the property. There are a lot of plants there that big investments have been made into. You might consider it a plant museum. Mm. And then also the facility needs to be looked after. So the residence, the garage, the gardener shed, you know, just making sure like last winter, no roofs collapse in the snow or trees falling down, which happens quite often because of the high winds in the canal.
It's a pretty remote location, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So what is it like living out there year round? Mostly, you know, it seems like most of the time you're going to be living there out there without your staff around or without too mm-hmm. many people around. Mm-hmm. Lots of wildlife around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's the experience like for you?
It is fascinating. Every day is something different. It really is. Speaking of the animals, this year whales came into the cove really close. Last summer didn't happen, so that was pretty exciting. I got to see Sitka deer this winter come in and eat lichen off the trees. The snow was so high they could reach it easily. It is remote, and thankfully I had lived in Girdwood and Anchorage before, and I knew of the potentials for the roads to be blocked for avalanches. So having your house stocked is always a good thing because you don't know when the roads might be cleared. I do live with my husband, Ken, there, so thankfully I'm not 100% alone, but when he is at work, it can be very quiet, and then just watching all the migrations is really exciting for me. So anybody who's going to do that job, of course they had to know horticulture, but you need to be really interested in nature and be able to entertain yourself and take joy in the plant life that's around you. Coming from Anchorage, I have a lot more plant palette to work with here, so that's always fun. And being in the tall trees is just wonderful. They're beautiful, and I love the forest.
Mm. And you've been managing the Arboretum, is it going on 2 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that you've learned? Any surprises?
What are surprises? Well, I mentioned the well earlier. That is a surprise. It's one of the things I appreciate about Alaska is all the fresh water that we have, but our well is shallow. And this summer, I'm pushing it to the limits again. The previous manager, Merrill, really drained it in the summer of 2019 when there was an extreme drought. So that's kind of a surprise because you just think, there's water. We live in a rainforest. Mm-hmm. So that's been interesting to work with. Surprises are how many folks that live in Juneau do not know about the Arboretum.
Or have never been there.
Have not been there. So that's always fun. Those are probably the biggest surprises. As far as operations go, a fun surprise was the compost pile that the previous manager built during their tenure, and we were able to take advantage of that. It's for gardeners out there listening, it's hard to compost in Alaska because of the temperatures, but if you leave something sitting for 13 years, it's bound to decompose. So that was a lovely surprise for the gardens.
When you live where you work, do you get much time off?
No. No, I'm just going to have to be honest and say that. No, it's wonderful to live where you work. The commute is fantastic. But on the other hand, you work where you live. And if you're a gardener, and even if you don't work at your garden as a job, you know there's always things to do outside. And so my mind is always going on what needs to be done, what could be done. And pride of the Arboretum, projects that I fantasize about or like to see happen or direction that the Arboretum could take, I'm always churning those things over. And so when I leave town, I'm really not working in that. That's when it really happens.
Well, thanks so much for indulging me. I think your job sounds so cool. You know, sometimes I imagine myself doing it, even though I do love my current job. So I love getting a little window into your world. I think a lot of us do, because it sounds very, you know, I can kind of romanticize it in my head. And it actually, you make it sound as good as it seems. So,
well, I'm always looking for volunteers. So if you want to test it out,
that's a great
come
idea.
Out there and just see what it's like.
Excellent suggestion. And then, but we're here today to talk about this first Friday and the show celebrating 15 years as a botanical gem, which opens at the City Museum. So, Alyssa, I'm going to turn to you now. How
Sure.
did the idea for this come about?
Well, I believe that conversation started between JOA and our curator, primarily. And I think it's been really very popular, talking about a window into what it might be like out there. This exhibit has really large-scale photographs that are digitally projected on a wall, and so it's kind of the first thing that people see when they come into the museum are these bright colors. But we have photographs that they provided that show the area seasonally, too, so you can see what it's like in winter. You can see community members there taking advantage of whether it's painting, plein air painting, or students doing some science projects. So it's really quite, it just grabs your attention. And the other thing, too, I was thinking about, you mentioned tourists, like how many tourists are coming out there. We have a lot of tourists this year coming to the museum, and they are seeing this, and they're asking about it, and they obviously don't have enough time usually to make it all the way out the road, so they're really grateful, and they spend a lot of time, you know, interacting with the exhibit and learning about it, so there's great interest even if they can't make it all the way out there. So yeah, and the exhibit doesn't just have the photographs. We have also paintings that have been done by our local community members who've gone out there and painted. There are information panels about Carolyn Jensen and her whole role in the Arboretum. And we're just for First Friday only, we're going to have a little pop-up exhibit that our current intern is curating and putting together that will provide information about the land and the families that were there prior to it becoming an arboretum. So there'll be it's a well-rounded, real fun exhibit to experience.
That sounds fantastic. I understand that, you know, that since we're celebrating the 15-year anniversary, a big part of the exhibit will be some of the history between that's happened from the start to now. Ginger, what's been your role in this presentation, in this exhibit?
I think half of the creation, really. yeah, I don't remember how I asked or if Friends of the Jensen Olsen Arboretum, our nonprofit support group, has been very supportive, might have thought of it as an idea, but because I live in Caroline's old house, There are a lot of her belongings there and paintings that were done by folks that gave them to her, and her writings and her photography. And because it's such a special year, the 15th, and I do a lot of presentations on the garden nationally and locally. So I had slideshows ready, and I thought, well, you know, let's put together a slideshow. Also kind of thinking of the folks who can't make it all the way out there. And that way people can come to the museum, get an idea of what's going on. So I helped round up most of the materials and worked with Nico to figure out where we're going to put it, how much material do we have, how much space do we have, what will our words say on the wall. And Pat White from Friends of the Jensen Olsen Arboretum, she's the board president, helped materialize some of the information. And also Seal Trust has a little bit of information in the exhibit. The Arboretum was the first property that Seal Trust put together with a conservation easement in Southeast Alaska. And folks should be really proud of that, that people came together to preserve land. And even though we didn't magically make this Arboretum happen, as Shelley, as you mentioned in the intro, we like to acknowledge that it was Tlingit territory, is still Tlingit territory and Kleinidi land. And so by all of those generations and people preserving this piece of land, it's very beautiful and bountiful, and we just wanted another place to show it off.
Are any of the photographs your own, Ginger?
Yes, the digital slideshow that rounds through. There may be a couple of Merrills in there, but most of those are my photographs.
I imagine you're well positioned to get very good photos.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's such a balance. Like, oh, I want to take pictures. Oh, I need to work in the garden. No, I want to take pictures. Yeah, it's
they
tough.
Are beautiful.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, Lisa? The photos are really spectacular. They're beautiful.
What's some more interesting things about the history of the Jensen Olsen Arboretum? What are some things about it that you find to be really cool?
Some really couple of big things are the plants that have been there over 100 years. The vegetable garden has been in the same site since the Petersons came to take advantage of the land. That was obviously, that's your grocery store back before stores. And over time, I think most of us grew up learning that fish were put in gardens or animal parts to fertilize them. And then it turned over to be starfish put in the gardens, sadly, to fertilize them. And now we use seaweed, and that feeds the garden just fine. And our garden is really productive and healthy and beautiful, and I think that's really special. There's an apple tree on the site that's over 100 years old that is theorized that somebody might have just thrown out an apple core. Nobody has found that it was planted purposefully. There are a couple of plants on the property that are also over 100 years old. It's believed that Marie Peterson carried an iris with her in a steamer trunk from Germany, is where they came from. And that is still living on the property. And there's a tiny, tiny primrose that is believed to be there. So these plants that are over 100 years old may have something to teach us as far as us plant nerds. How, look at all they're living through and all these changes of our weather systems.
Yeah, that's really cool. Those are great highlights. Mm-hmm. And then Alyssa or Ginger, either of you, like, what are some of the pieces in the presentation and the exhibit that are real highlights for you or that you are really excited to share with the public?
I think, another really important thing in the exhibit is probably the proclamation of Alaska Public Gardens Day. The previous manager, Merrill, was instrumental in getting other public gardens in Alaska to work with the governor at the time and have a public gardens declaration for the state, because our season is later than the rest of the lower 48, and the lower 48 has Public Gardens Day earlier in the month of May, and we're not quite that floriferous at that time. So that's pretty special, and the actual proclamation is hanging on the wall.
Floriferous. That's a great word. I never heard that one before. I know exactly what it means, though. That is very cool.
What do you have anything you think is...
I just really enjoy the feeling of the exhibit overall. I like the juxtaposition of the photographs with the paintings. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. I just think it's visually really happy and bright and fun to look at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you both for sharing that. I think that it's really going to get people to excited to come out and see the exhibit at the City Museum on Friday and also go out to the Arboretum mm-hmm. at some point. So again, the reception for the exhibit celebrating 15 years as a botanical gem is this first Friday, July 1st from 4 to 7 p.m. And I want to thank you both for answering my questions about that. Was there anything else you want to share about the exhibit?
I would add, too, that Ginger will be there, as will Pat, and there will be a table set up with information about the friends, and they'll be there to talk about the gardens and answer questions and things like that, share information. Yeah, and it's completely free. The admission to the museum will be free from 4 to 7 p.m. So.
Wonderful.
And the only thing I would add, not about the exhibit, but speaking of free, is the Arboretum is free. We should be very fortunate that that city keeps it open, and it's a very unusual thing. So everybody come enjoy the Arboretum as well.
I think we will. Well, thanks again for sharing all that great info about the Arboretum. Alyssa, what else is happening at the City Museum?
Right. So to kick off the holiday weekend, we will be hosting a changing of the flags on our front lawn at 5 p.m. We will be changing both our 49-star U.S. flag and the Alaska flag. And this is an event that we are in partnership with the American Legion Ok Bay Post 25, who will be, you know, doing that work. And it'll be educational, as you can see, how retired flags are handled and how new flags are go up. We'll also be having a young woman named Elizabeth Jolly, who will be singing the Star Spangled Banner during that time. And we'll be giving out a couple little free goodies. We have probably 100 build-your-own wooden flag kits and Alaska state flags that we can also give out. And that all starts at 5. Again, that's free as well. So
that's great.
Yeah.
And then, Ginger, what else is happening at the Arboretum over the next few weeks or months?
At the Arboretum coming up in July the 10th, we will have a native plant walk at 10 a.m. and highlighting native plants that are cultivated on the grounds. But obviously, we're surrounded by a fabulous native forest. And one of our garden assistants will be offering tours in conjunction with the Alaska Native Plant Society outside of the ground. So there's a dog walk trail from the parking lot at the Arboretum and the Point Caroline Trail. And they'll probably go walk out there and look at native plants in situ. And that same person is also working on a plant list for the Point Caroline Trail, native plants and their indigenous names and their uses. So look forward to that in the future. July 17th is Bug Day. That's a family-friendly event. I encourage anybody interested in insects, wanting to learn more about the good, the bad, the funny, the pretty, to come out for that. Look for that on friendsjoa.org. That's the Friends of the Jensen Olsen Arboretum. They organize that little workshop. And then July 28th is our official 15th anniversary birthday.
Will there be cake?
I hope so. I hope it'll still be warm enough to have cake and ice cream. Another really fun thing on the garden, which we should have tied this in with the museum as well, we have art in the garden this summer. Ah. So through September, please come out and see all the lovely art made by local artists. There's different mediums, and it's all art that was made to be presented in a garden, to stay out in the garden. It'll be up through September, and different types of art. And we're also looking for a People's Choice Award, so folks that really love art, come out and see it. If you don't know what garden art means, come and see it.
And remind me, what are the hours of the Arboretum? What days are you open?
Thanks for asking. The Arboretum is open Wednesday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we're also available for rentals for weddings. So anybody has a wedding inquiry, contact me.
I bet that's a beautiful spot to get married. Is there anything else that either of you would like to share before we say goodbye today?
I just appreciate you having us on.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thank you for answering all my questions. It's been a really fun interview. Anything from you, Alyssa?
Oh, just a reminder that we do have special walking tours in July. We have both true crime tours, and there's still space on them. One on July 9th, that's the Douglas, and the downtown one is on July 23rd, and people can just call the museum to sign up for those.
Wonderful. Thank you both so much for being here today. So much great stuff happening this summer at the museum and at the Arboretum, and definitely looking forward to the exhibit opening on First Friday.